Hi, I'm Natalie Calzadilla, and this is the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast. I created this podcast to empower you with knowledge about all forms of alternative healing, personal development, and mysticism. I want you to celebrate your wins and create a life of possibility. You, my friend, are a light worker, a way shower, and you will inspire others to do the same. So grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome back, y'all. How did you like the new intro? I have a new music and a new intro. Hope you guys enjoyed it. So really quick before we get started, we're going to open with a prayer to open the energies of the West as we enter the West direction of the medicine wheel into the fall season. Great Spirit, Mother Earth, powers of the four directions, my allies, my medicine animal, my ancestors, and those who love me, be here with me now and hear my prayer. Beyond the landscapes of ordinary life lie dimensions of higher consciousness and perfected reality. Somewhere in your dimension, O Great Spirit, the Great Mother opens her arms and receives our spirit shields, which spin for all eternity. This earthly life is a gift from you, Great Mother. I honor your presence in my life, Great Spirit, and your gift of eternal life. I know that my spirit shield is in need of balancing, that in this lifetime I have the opportunity to tear away the veils of ignorance and walk the earth in my sacred androgynous form, balanced equally between the male and female energies, within myself and within the cosmos. I will manifest within this lifetime my true destiny by finding the hidden passions that live within my heart and soul. Those hidden passions for truth, for harmony and balance and goodness that live within me. I will not be afraid to look at the dark side of my being. That dark side is my instinctual nature, which I have denied in some way in my life. To repress who I really am is to live a lie, and to live my life through the eyes of others, not through my own eyes. I pledge, Great Mother, to take responsibility for who I am in this life, for my weaknesses and my strengths. I pledge to walk the path as a spiritual warrior of the heart, as I see the many mirrors I have created around me in my life. I will not be afraid to look in them, and I will realize that no matter what reflection I see, it is a reflection of some aspect of you, Great Spirit, and for that, I will love all that I see. To take my power in this lifetime is to understand that I am made of power, and that power is a reflection of you, Great Spirit. I understand that the first lesson of power is that we are alone in the struggle toward enlightenment. I also understand that that last lesson of power is that we are indeed all one. You are my light and my love and my way, O Great Spirit, and I honor you all the days of my life. Ho. That is called A Prayer for the Fall. That is written by Lynn Andrews, my first shamanic teacher, and it's from her book called Walk in Spirit, Prayers for the Seasons of Life. So welcome to a bonus episode of Pachanga and Possibility. And I wanted to start off this episode with an opening prayer for the fall season as we enter the west of the medicine wheel. And I'm going to explain what that really means and how that's playing out for me right now. And I really didn't plan this episode at all, but things have unfolded very magically in the last couple weeks for me. So I just want to share some stories really casually. So when I talk about the west of the medicine wheel, and usually in the nature-based traditions, they use some sort of medicine wheel to tackle life. And in the episode with Dakota Earth Cloud Walker, she explains to us how she uses the medicine wheel. So you can go and check out that episode if you want to take a deeper dive into the medicine wheel and how to use it for healing and personal growth. But we're going to talk about the West because, unbeknownst to me, I was not really in the woo for the last few months. And I really missed it. And I feel like naturally, nature does what it does. And whether you want to or not, we have entered the fall season and the energies have shifted. And the time of the fall is the time of the cardinal direction of the medicine wheel of the West. So the fall belongs on the west side of the medicine wheel. And this is a place of, imagine like the bear going into the cave to hibernate. It's a place of introspection, of death and rebirth, of the dreamland. And it's that going within and getting ready for the winter. And it's just like that darkness, the mystery. And I wasn't in the mystery. For the last few months, I was very much in this doing energy of getting my Etsy store launched and working with doing some client work, just taking care of Amara, just very like 3D type stuff, not meditating often, and just kind of doing the regular day-to-day worldly stuff. And I was really missing the mystery. Like I had a conversation with Daryl and we were hanging out and I was telling him a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, babe, I miss living in the mystery. Motherhood has taken up so much of my bandwidth. And now motherhood plus having a child with a disease, now that she's type 1 diabetic, and living that reality for the last 6 months, it's like a whole other, you know, really difficult, stressful paradigm on top of having a baby and all that comes with that, plus the pandemic, plus my stepdaughter, plus just everything that we go through, you know, in adulting and in life. And obviously, like every mom knows, you don't have a lot of time for yourself. And before I had the baby, I lived in that mystery a lot. I would meditate 20 minutes to an hour to an hour and a half. I would sit at my altar and just dive deep into the mystery and do my shamanic journeys or just sit and listen to meditation music or do guided meditations. And I would journal and I would do ceremony and ritual and sacred art and pulling oracle cards and drumming, and it was just so rich of all of my spirituality. And I lived between dimensions. I was really living with one foot here and one foot in the spirit world, and I love it. I love being in that space in between. But I became a mom, and now having 5 minutes to really calm down and try to focus on how should I spend like this nap that she's taking? Should I nap? Should I do laundry? Should I try to work on my business? Should I wash the dishes? Should I spend time with my partner? Should I go for a walk? Should I exercise? And this nap is only, you know, 30 to 90 minutes. And sometimes a nap would just pass and me trying to figure out what to do, which was really frustrating. So time management is a thing, but it's also not a thing. Like, it's a thing as long as it's a thing. But once Amara has other plans, then I've learned that I've had no choice but to learn to go with the flow. And as you know, my type A personality really struggles with that. But man, I have come a long way to surrendering to the present moment and just saying, all right, well, you know, I wanted to record this episode this morning, but it didn't happen because she skipped her nap this morning. And after feeding her lunch and time has passed, I don't feel totally like that magical space I was in earlier when I was trying to prepare for this episode. But hey, here we are, and I have to go with the flow. So anyways, I was telling Daryl, man, I wish I was back in that mystery. I miss living in that magical space. I'm so much more centered and so much more positive and optimistic and grateful. And I just, it's this very like open-hearted space versus this very, you know, trying to tune out like all of the fear-based madness that's going on the planet right now is obviously really tough. And I'm not one of these people that doesn't listen to the news. I listen to it a little bit in the morning, like one little segment on YouTube. I'm like, all right, I know what's going on the planet. I don't listen to local news because I live in South Florida and, you know, it's just a car accidents and murders. So why am I going to listen to that? I'm sure my mom will make it a point to let me know everything that's happening within a 30-mile radius of me. So I just missed like that magic and that woo. I'm like, okay, you know, I was okay doing all the things I do because when I get into work mode, I get to create. And so in that time where I'm not in the woo, I do make time for my art and I make time to make things happen. And I birthed the Etsy store and I hired my virtual assistant and she's amazing and she's been editing the podcast episodes for season two, and I've been able to do the season two interviews, and I'm halfway done, so I'm really proud. But man, I missed the magic, and I was like, how is this gonna come back into my life? How can I make space for this, you know? So I feel like when I said that to him, it was like a prayer. I feel like spirit took it as a deep, genuine prayer from my heart, because in the last two weeks, my Hispanicness came out. I've been just picked up and dropped off in the sacred again. And man, it feels good. It feels so yummy. So I'll tell you what happened. Now that Amara's a little bit bigger, I can wear my jewelry again, or most of it. And I have the sterling silver rosary that I have of Mother Mary. And I put that on and some of my other staple pieces, and I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel like myself again. And I grabbed my rings that I had put away because I couldn't wear them when I was so swollen from the pregnancy. And I pulled out a couple of my older rings. I put those on and I'm like, man, I'm starting to feel like myself, you know, like the older Natalie, even though there's a new Natalie in the house now. But some remnants of who I used to be, which I really need, because this whole like birthing a new human being within myself as I turn the page into motherhood has been obviously really challenging, because you have to figure out like, all right, who am I now within my current reality? Like, how is this going to play out? Like, who am I going to be now in this new world that I live in and the way I move through life? And obviously I missed, you know, parts of me. So putting on my jewelry was like, nice. This feels like home again, because I'm not the type to change my jewelry. I have a few like staple pieces and then I will like wear them until I'm over it. And that's usually after a few years. And then I had this rosary on, and then all of a sudden I am in meditation and I connected with the energy of Mother Mary. So her and I are having a chat and I'm just asking for guidance and support. And she tells me something funny, and she's like, I was talking to her and asking actually for support around my art career, I guess you can say. And she tells me, draw a Virgen de Guadalupe on roller skates. Because she knows I'm skating a lot, right? And I'm like, isn't that kind of messed up? Shouldn't I not be doing something like that? Like, and aren't I disrespecting you and the sacred by, you know, adding some roller skates to this very famous image of you? And she's like, no, like, I like to have fun too. And I think it would be like, she's like, I think it would be a trip. Obviously, she's not speaking to me the way I speak, because she doesn't sound like a Cuban Miami girl. But she's like, I think it would, I like to have fun too, was generally like the message. And obviously, not obviously, often when you talk to spirit guides, you're having more of a like psychic communication and not like verbatim, like words per word. But the energy and the receive, like, you know, I'm a woman and I like to have fun also. And I would think it would be a riot
and really cute and like sweet and make me happy if, yeah, you did draw me with roller skates. And I'm like, all right, who am I to argue with you? Whatever. I'm like, I'm sure there's a message in this. So I, you know, made a mental note of that. I'm like, all right. And I don't know, also, I'm not Mexican, and La Virgen de Guadalupe is the Mexican apparition that they had in Mexico. So I don't know anything at all. The one from Cuba is La Virgen de la Caridad, I believe. Don't quote me on it. I believe it's Cuban. I don't know why now I'm wondering if it's Puerto Rican, but I'm not sure. It's on this side. One of these islands. And sorry, Mom. I know I should know this. Anyhow. So I was also surprised because that's not, you know, if I'm going to connect to one of like the versions of the Virgin Mary, I would think it'd be the one that belongs to my culture. And it's not. It's the Virgen de Guadalupe. And I'm like, all right, cool. I don't know anything about her and what happened in that story and that apparition. Cool. So I Google the story and I read about it. I'm like, okay, interesting, fine. I start looking up images to have like reference images for the illustration. And I start sketching things up. And obviously I'm nervous because I feel like there's a little bit more pressure because I had like spirit ask me to do this. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to come of this, but hey. So fast forward a few more days. I'm looking through my audiobooks and I see an audiobook from that I don't remember ever like bookmarking in my favorites. And I had looked on Monday to read an audiobook, to listen to an audiobook, and I didn't see anything that stood out. So I don't think I even started anything Monday. Then Tuesday, I look again, and lo and behold, there's this audiobook called The Dangerous Old Woman. And I'm like, how did this get here? And who is this? And the author is Clarissa Pincolet Estes, PhD, Dr. Estes. I don't know who this person is. Some of you probably already know. And I start listening to the book. It's not even a book. It's a talk that the company Sounds True produced. And it's like 6 or 7 like chapters, you would say, talks about what it means to be a dangerous old woman. And she's a Jungian psychoanalyst. And it's just fascinating because she communicates through like dissecting a lot of the tales and myths that we are familiar with and many that I'm not familiar with. And she tells you a tale. And for example, the first one in that book was about Snow White. And you're like, okay, the story of Snow White, we all know it. Although the version she told, I wasn't totally familiar with. And maybe because I really never liked the movie that much. And I listen to it and I'm like, okay, you know, and I don't really even like reading fiction or listening to fiction outside of like something on Netflix. So I'm kind of like trying to be patient listening through this one story, which is she only, out of the 7 hours in the audiobook, there's only like 5 stories, like tales that she goes through. And the only one I knew was the first one. So I'm like, okay, this story needs to end already. Even though she does a phenomenal job at telling the story. And then she finishes the story and says, okay, this is how the story are all the parts of your psyche. And this means that, and this means this, and this means that, and da 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 da. And you're just like mind blown about how she's able to translate these tales into like all the parts of who we are within herself, like all the different facets and how they play a role in how we perceive life. And I was just like, I mean, mind blown. And even before she told the first story, I was totally breathtaking by the book and the things she was saying. Like, it was just something that I needed, and it exploded my heart open. That's the best way that I can say it. There's a lot of books that I've read that have blown my mind, but very few books that have opened my heart, like burst my heart open. And there's only 2 books that have done that now. And the first one is the one by the famous meditator and insight timer. Oh, I can't remember. Sarah Blondin. Yes, Sarah Blondin. She released a book last year. And I love her meditations and her book that she wrote. I listened to the audiobook also. So her voice is magical. And that was one that like my heart was broken and going through all my birth trauma and being a new mom. And that book was just exactly what I needed. And then this book was, I wasn't in a bad space. It just opened my heart up into like the magic and the woo and the sacred, even though this book is not necessarily woo woo. But as women, we are the woo, right? Like that is who we are. Like as women, we are the woo. And she brought me back to that deeper connection to what it means to be a woman and a woman in every phase of life and how to be a dangerous old woman and what it means to be the maiden, the mother, the crone. And she drops in the four elements and storytelling with the, I mean, it's just like gangster, okay? Gangster. I mean, I can't. I have to listen to it again. I'm going to listen to it again starting today. I finished it last week. I inhaled the 7-hour audiobook in 3 days, I believe, maybe two. So I definitely invite you to go check it out. It's called The Dangerous Old Woman. You can listen to it for free on the Hoopla app. All you need is your library card. But if not, I'm sure you could find it on Amazon. So I have this heart-opening experience, right? Because she's connected me with what it means to be a woman and not from a gender place. It's like from the way you move through the world and relate to yourself and other people. And it was just, oh, so, so good. So now my heart is like bursted open. I am totally like flying through the ethers all of last week in very out of body because I was being pretty ditzy. I was like not paying attention in certain situations. And I was so grateful and I was like, oh my God, like this is what my heart has been craving again, to feel this way, to feel connected to Great Spirit again, to the Creator, Creatress, to feel the magic again, to feel the magic within ourselves, within other people, within our interconnectedness with each other. Like I was just craving this so bad. And here, this book that somehow appeared at some point in my Hoopla favorites. And I had no idea how I got there. I don't remember seeing it the day before. I don't know who this author is. And I'm just like, wow. So I text message MA and I'm like, girl, you got to check this book out. Oh my God. And for some reason, I have a feeling it has this very like the Women That Run With The Wolves essence. But I never read that book. So I don't even know why I'm saying that. But I feel like it has that vibe. I don't know. And when I looked up the author, that is the author. It's the author from The Women That Run With The Wolves. And I was like, of course, right? So that was more magic right there with that synchronicity. And then I inhale that book and I'm like, oh my God, maybe there's other material that she's written and I can listen to. And when I look up all the stuff on Hoopla from that author, there's like 12 talks. And I'm like, I got to binge on this woman and all of her gangster energy and wisdom and just like, and she's very much like a spiritual rebel and oh, I'm like so excited. So what else is in those talks? Well, it's a book about La Virgen de Guadalupe. And I'm like, what are the odds? Like, what are the chances? Like, why? Like, clearly right now it's time for me to connect to what it means to that divine mother energy. And what perfect timing, right? As I'm a mom and I'm listening to these books while I'm holding Amara and feeling like generations of crap of what it means to be a woman, like melt away and so proud that I get to pave a new path for Amara. To be like what it means to be a new woman and a woman from a place of power and strength and quiet strength and loud strength and all of the above and not an energy that's plagued with fear and anxiety and limited thinking. And not that I don't experience those things, but shit, I'm aware of when I'm doing it. And I'm going to do my best to try to not transmit all of the crap that I have or have gone through or has been passed down to me to her. And it was just such a blessing. Like, it was just one of these things where I'm like sitting with her and listening to these amazing talks by this author, by Dr. Estes, and what it means to be a woman and divine mother and divine feminine and La Virgen de Guadalupe. And it's just like all of this divine feminine deliciousness, heart opening, creative, empowering, badass energy. And again, I just sat there in gratitude, like, thank you, Great Spirit, for opening up that door to the divine again for me, that for somehow, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but thank you for hearing my prayer and for dropping me back into the matrix, into that space that brings me so much peace and joy and hope for life and thrill of what's coming next and what do I get to create next and gratitude for what I have right now. So the next synchronicity, and this happened yesterday. So I'm telling my friend Sasha, my best friend Sasha, that I've been connecting with La Virgen de Guadalupe, and I sent her this book because I think she's very Catholic, even though she's like a witch in denial. Not a witch in a negative way. She probably may not like that I said that, but you know what I mean, girl. She's very intuitive, very, 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 very intuitive. But she's also very Catholic, although she's very much aware of her abilities, but definitely respects hanging out in that space too long or developing them further. And that's fine. Maybe it's not for her in this lifetime. But so I sent her this audiobook. Like, I think that she's going to really like the audiobook, the talk from Clarissa about La Virgen. And let me get you the right name, because I know I'm not saying the right name for that book. So the one about the talk about La Virgen de Guadalupe is called Untying the Strong Woman, Blessed Mother's Immaculate Love for the Wild Soul. How like amazing is that? And it has like her picture in the front. And then the book that I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's called The Dangerous Old Woman, Mysteries and Myths for the Wise Woman Archetype. Oh, amazing. That one was published in 2010 and it's 7 hours and 15 minutes. So amazing. Like, I want to read it again, but I don't know how I'm going to do it because I want to journal, like take notes as I listen. But everything, like all the knowledge that she drops, like you want to meditate on every sentence. Like, that's how much like wisdom and just magic is packed into that one. So I don't know. Maybe you listen to it and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's what happened for me. If it doesn't happen for you, then like my dad says, file it under bullshit. So that's all I have to say about that. So back to Sasha. So I was telling Sasha, oh my God, I have to listen to this book, the one about La Virgen. I think you'll really like it because that's your thing. And I tell her, you know, the story about all the magic that's been happening with her. And she's like, you know what? I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine about you, La Virgen de Guadalupe, last week. And I'm like, what the hell? Why? Like, she's like, didn't you tell me? Didn't we have this conversation about La Virgen de Guadalupe recently? And I'm like, no, this is the first time I talked to you. Like, all of this just unfolded. She's like, but you drew La Virgen de Guadalupe and gave it to my daughter. And she's right. I had forgotten. In 2016, I had drawn, I don't know why, but I drew like of an illustration of La Virgen de Guadalupe that was like a cutesy style. And I don't remember having any mystical experiences around it or anything. I just think that I picked it and I drew it. I have no idea what inspired me to do it. Normally, I would remember if there was something like mystical that happened before to inspire the drawing. And I don't remember that it did. And she was telling a coworker, a friend of hers or something, that I had a conversation or some mystical experience with La Virgen and that I drew her and this and that. And I'm like, no, Sasha, like I never told you that. And what timing? So she literally confirmed for me that there's definitely lessons for me right now around whatever La Virgen de Guadalupe's messages and teachings are. And it's just where I'm at right now as far as like ascended masters I'm working with and And it's just amazing. So tying this back to the West of the medicine wheel, the West is all about going back and coming home, going within, going into the unconscious, going into that place of death and rebirth and looking into your shadow self and just going within and really finding that refuge inside of yourself, even amidst the darkness. Like, that's the best way I can put it, is like coming home, finding refuge within your heart, within your soul, taking inventory of any shadow stuff that you haven't wanted to look at, very lovingly and compassionately and accepting, looking at those things and working through them. Now we're in Mercury retrograde, so anything that you've kind of brushed under the rug, or anyone, is back in your face, whether you like it or not. So if you see a lot of old patterns or old problems or people from the past or anything like that come up, it's because there's unfinished business here, and it's an opportunity to handle it. And if it doesn't get handled, whatever, it is what it is, and I'm sure it'll come back during next retrograde. But trust me, if it's something that annoys you, you're gonna want to just take it on, deal with it, resolve it, and put it at peace. So that's the mystery. That is what's happened for me the last 2 weeks, from my deep prayer, unconscious prayer to Daryl about missing the mystery and living within that divine mystery, that walking between two worlds. I just missed it so much. And then all of a sudden, Spirit's like, I hear you, girl. Boop. Let me give you this book. It's gonna blast your heart open. Let me give you a new teacher to learn from and work with. And let me give you more tools that are gonna just like expand your mind and your heart and your artwork, and help you connect with other people, and just all these yummy synchronicities. Like, boom, 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 boom. Here you go. Enjoy. And I've been in cloud nine for the last couple weeks, until, you know, it's hard to not think. Obviously, now I'm gonna like mess this up, right, with negative energy. But if you're a mom, you probably understand. Now I'm like, okay, I gotta really enjoy this before the next shoe drops. But the reason is because intuitively, I've also been told that there's other things coming down the pike, which I'm not gonna say out loud because I don't want to give energy to them. But what I've really learned this past 2 years, between all the crap that I've been through, is that when the times are good, like, milk it for all it's worth. And when they're bad, then hold yourself like a little baby and just nurture your way through. You nurture yourself through it and get all the help and support and medication or ganja or whatever the hell that works for you to get through the difficult times. But when things calm down and the dust settles, milk it for all it's worth. Go outside, make art, go see your friends, eat, exercise, whatever, hold rituals, ceremony, drum, play, like, just frolic, bro. Just fucking go outside and frolic in nature and have an amazing time, because when shit sucks, it sucks. And these times of peace and joy are what's gonna kind of hold you over through the next crisis. And just remember, like, these really good times, and that they will come back eventually. So if you're not in a good place now, just hang in there. Take it a day at a time. I have been a huge fan of flower essences lately. And the next episode I'm recording for season 2, she's an herbalist and a flower essence practitioner. I can't wait to drop that episode, because it's just been a whole other world that I have been also studying at night before I go to bed. I've been studying flower essence healing, and I've just been really connected to that. And it's really held me in a very like gentle, loving, delicate space with Amara's diagnosis. So that's kind of the woo and healing stuff that's really speaking to me now, like underlying stuff. And if I'm not in the woo, at least I'm drawing flowers to connect and learn about them on a like mental level. But anyways, I digress. So yeah, and I want to take a quick moment to talk about portals and how I see portals. So a portal is, when I talk about them, a place where you can travel to another state of mind, right? It's like an opening, a doorway to another world, another reality, or even as subtle as just a shift in paradigms, a shift in your mindset, and a place of possibility, right? Like when you imagine a portal, it's like you're stepping into another thing and like all these other things are possible in another place, another dimension, like we see in movies. I did not grow up reading books. I was not a reader. I also did not like school. The fact that I have an MBA, that I made it that far, is a fucking miracle, because I was not a good student. I hated school. I was a C student when I graduated from high school. I was on a 10-year plan with my university, you know, trying to get an associate's. It took me 4 years trying to get a bachelor's, you know. After that was another, I was on the 10-year plan to get a bachelor's degree. So it was like 4 and 6 years just to get a bachelor's degree. And then I took a break and found some spirituality, went back and got my MBA because I didn't want to be the starving artist. I had no business being in a business school because I am not. Actually, now I learned I am. But at the time, I thought like I am so not a math person and not a business person. It turned out that I am, but I didn't know that at the time. But because I don't like numbers, so things like accounting and economics terrified me, and I did cry a lot through all those classes, and I had tutors and everything, but I survived. Somehow I survived statistics, and that was kind of the data head in me that saved my life. But the point is that I never liked reading until I was 27 years old, when I was in this class in my bachelor's degree called Myths, Rituals, and Mysticism. And that was my favorite class in college and my favorite teacher. She was just amazing. Dr. Baker, Dr. Phyllis Baker, if you're listening to this sometime, someplace in this universe, thank you. I love you for being who you are and owning yourself. Like, it's just, she's amazing to witness. And it was this topic, myths, rituals, and mysticism. And I was like, ooh, this sounds very witchy. Let's check it out. And I really wasn't into any of the spirituality yet. This is back in 2006, I want to say. And it opened up to topics I was interested in. And so I started reading stuff. I had to do a paper on Reiki. And then I did, I don't know what else. Then I had to read a book about shamanism. And I was just like eating this stuff up. So that's where like the reading seed was planted for me. And I'm also diagnosed ADD. I got diagnosed with adult ADD at 21 years old. And I'm going to do a whole other episode on being ADD and what I feel that really means on a spiritual level. So that's when I started reading books, and I was reading books that I liked. So those who like, if you have never liked books growing up, that doesn't mean you're never going to like books again. You just have to find stuff that really inspires you, like things that you like to read. And I became a voracious reader between audiobooks, as I really love audio, especially living in Miami when everybody's commute is long as hell, because of all the traffic. And I just inhaled books via audio and regular books when I could. And it's been life-changing. And for me, reading, like every book is a portal. It's a portal of possibility. Like that, I've learned more on my own reading than I did in fucking college. Like that's really the truth. But if you don't read, please try. Like, I can't tell you how much. It's just like a portal to other forms of thinking. And it's just so magical. So believe it or not, like a book can be a portal and a very powerful magical one. And it can change your life. Like one tiny book can literally shift your entire life, and you can pivot and never be the same person ever again and create a whole new paradigm and reality for yourself. Like so much things are born, like people the stuff is out there. Like the answers you were looking for are out there. You just have to be willing to go look for them. And now to be super practical, other types of portals are any place that you meditate in this and or pray or get together to do spiritual work. So if you have an altar in your home, that's literally becomes almost like a portal where spirit can come in and out like easier through that space because you're constantly praying there. So that's almost like this energy stays in that sacred space. So imagine a church. Like usually people go to church and have very mystical experiences. Why? Because they're praying there every year and calling in the sacred. And then you're doing it in group, which the power of doing things in group are like magnified. The sum of the parts are, what is it? Are greater than the whole, something like that. And that's why so much magic and spirit is felt within these sacred places, because people have been choreographing energy in these places. So if you want actual literal portal, this is also that is where it can happen. And we would do sacred circles at Denise's house. Denise Walking Bird was another shamanic teacher that I had, and may she rest in peace. And we would gather there, the spiritual center, you know, Medicine Science Spiritual Center. We gathered there and we would do our sacred circles. And a lot of paranormal activity ended up happening in that space. And healings and different things. Why? Because we gathered there around the crystal fire and in love and in prayer and in unity and just all this yumminess. So take advantage of books is the end of my soapbox talk. Invite the sacred into your life. Even if you don't know how, just say that deep prayer to Great Spirit, to Creator, Creatress, and say, you know, I want more of that magic, and show me like your divinity. I want to walk with you. You know, I want to have one foot here on earth and the other foot in spirit, and show me how to walk between the worlds and in this really yummy space for me and for the people around me and for all of us in this world. And if you have to heal, as if healing is a prerequisite to get there, then allow that healing to take place. Don't resist it and ask for support. Not everything has to be super intense. Ask for support, literal support from the people who surround you in your community, or professional support, or all of the above. If I can support you in any way, definitely reach out and have fun. If you're feeling good, man, have a good time, because things are interesting on the planet right now. Definitely. So I just wanted to share those audiobooks, inviting the divine back into your life, reading a little bit more, and just sharing some magic with y'all. All right, until the next time, bye. Oh, wait, before I let you go, I have one little prayer for the west of the medicine wheel that I want to close this off with. So this is taken from Lynn Andrews' book called Teachings Around the Sacred Wheel, Finding the Soul of the Dreamtime. And let me take a sip of water here before I read this. It's not that long, though. And this is part of the prayer of calling in the four directions, but I'm only going to call in the West to really wrap up and summarize what the energies of the West are. And also the West is the element of water, which is the energy of emotions. Water are emotions. So, powers of the West, place of intuition, looking within, woman place inside of all of us, home of the great bear, come into my circle here and now. Bear with your sacred task of hibernation, of dreaming. Come into my circle in order to teach me better to go inside and listen. Teach me to go inside all the winter of my life, into the darkness, without fear, with excitement, with your great power, sacred bear.
I pray that I will learn to be quiet, to hear my inner voice, to distinguish my voice of intuition from the false voices of fear, doubt, and indecision. Powers of the West, sacred intuition, sacred bear, come into my circle now. Aho. Thanks for listening. As you know, this content is free, but it isn't free to produce. To support the podcast, you can purchase a Pachanga and Possibility t-shirt at cutiecrewbrand.com. A portion of the proceeds go towards finding a cure for type 1 diabetes. If you love this episode, share it with a friend. Use the share feature to text it over to them right now. Also, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And last but not least, it'd be extra cool if you can rate the show and leave a written review wherever you listen. Thanks again for being here. I know how valuable your time is.